I'm glad you're here to get nearer to God, and praise the Lord for those that come and get to receive the Lord as Savior. This evening, I'm thinking of our scripture reading in John's Gospel, and as we're reading, I'm thinking about Pilate in John 19. So please go to John 19 tonight for the message, John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And if you'll notice, John 19, 1, I'll read that. You follow in the word. It says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." Now, as I look at this and our Lord being scourged, I believe that Pilate did not want to whip him. Pilate did not want to crucify him. Pilate wanted to let him go. And he wanted to placate the Jews in Jerusalem in leadership. And so by scourging the Lord, he hoped to placate them and that then they would agree to let the Lord go. However, when he scourged him, you know that it was a whip with leather thongs in it, and it had about 9 tails of leather thongs. And each of those tails would have bits of stone or glass and sharp objects. And when that scourge came down upon our Lord with each whipping, it really wrapped into his back with about 9 thongs. And when they pulled it back on his bare back, it would pull back the skin and pull back the flesh and go way down, sometimes to the bone, and the blood would just run. And it was a horrible thing. But Pilate, I say, wanted to do that to him to evoke pity from the political party of the Jews so that they would let him go. Pilate really had no stomach to crucify our Lord. But he wound up giving him more pain. And God the Father allowed it because it was prophesied that by his stripes we are healed. And so you see, it was all part of God's plan for him. But there he is taking that terrible scourging, just under 40 lashes, and each one 9 lashes in itself, and that he went through that terrible pain. And then, if that was not enough, the soldiers knew that the Jews were accusing the Lord of being the king of the Jews. And they thought that was rather funny. And so they saw that he was being accused of being the king of the Jews, and that he was accused, actually, of leading an insurrection against Caesar and the government of Rome, and against Herod, who was installed by Rome as a king, and against Pilate as the governor. And even though our Lord did not deny that he was the king of the Jews, he was very clear in saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. I am not here to overthrow the Roman government. I'm not doing that." He said, "If I did, I'd be training my servants to fight. I'm not doing that." Pilate knew that. He clearly understood that, and so the Roman soldiers basically knew he was no threat, but yet they took this opportunity to mock him. They didn't see him as a king. They didn't see him as a glorious God in the flesh. No, they saw him as a figure to be mocked, and so they wove a crown of these real long, strong thorns, and they made that into a crown, and they put it on his head. They found this gorgeous robe, and they wrapped the robe around his trembling, bleeding body. And we know from not this scripture in John 19, but from other scripture, that they took a reed, a long reed, and when they put the crown on his head, they beat it into his head. And the blood just ran down from his skull where those thorns had gone in, and they mocked him. Look at verse 2 of 19. It says, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. There he is with this crown of thorns, the king of the Jews, a mockery, no threat to Pilate or to Rome, the Caesar. But the Jews were saying, oh, he's a threat. We must indict him. We must put him up for insurrection. Because, you see, they didn't have the authority to kill him under Rome. So they wanted Rome to do it for them. Pilate didn't want to do it. But he feared for his job as the Roman governor. And he didn't want the Jewish leaders to be against him. And so he was trying to placate him. And so here he is standing there with that crown of thorns and the blood flowing down. If you could picture it. And he has this gorgeous robe on him, and he is trembling. But if that's not enough, they went on from there, and it got worse. Notice in verse 3, I'll read it, you follow. It says, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And so now, as they see him trembling, having been scourged and dressed in this purple robe and having on the crown, they began to mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! King of the Jews! He's just a funny figure to them. And then they open-handedly slapped him in the face and slapped him in the face and slapped him. And they took their time slapping him in the face and beating him. And no doubt blood began to come out of his nose as well as out of his head as he was bleeding already all over his body and trembling as he went through that mockery. As I said, Pilate didn't see him as a threat to Rome or to Caesar. I believe Pilate saw him at this point as merely a religious teacher who had no designs on political power. And he wanted to let him go free, but again, he was afraid and he didn't want to make the Jews angry. But notice, let's go to verse 4. And in verse 4 it says, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. So the soldiers had been slapping him and crowning him and mocking him. And Pilate sees him trembling with this gorgeous robe on, the blood just flowing down his face. And Pilate leads him out where the whole crowd can see him. And what is Pilate trying to do? Keep in mind, he wants him released. He wants the Jews to take pity on him. Look what he's been through. He put him through that scourging and let him go through that so that they would release him. And so there he is, trembling. Keep in mind, he's a human being. He's a man, and he's trembling. And Pilate is trying to curry sympathy. But the next verse is the verse that I have chosen for the text tonight, for the message. And it's verse number 5. If you'll look there, it says, Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. That's the way he said it. Behold the man. In other words, folks, this isn't a threat. Look at him. Look at him. He's a pitiable figure. Look at him with the blood running down. Look at him with the gorgeous robe. Look at him with the silly crown of thorns on his head. People, behold the man. Behold the man. And he was hoping to get some sympathy and hoping to get his release. But can I say to you, Almighty God would not allow that to happen. Because it wasn't the Jews that put him on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that put him on the cross. It was really you and I. Behold the man, but Pilate was trying to get him released. And that trembling figure is standing there. And Pilate's attempt to get sympathy for him did not work. Because I want you to notice just for a moment in verse 6, it says, when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto him, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Tonight, I want to take what Pilate said in trying to get them to release him, and I want to take it and say God allowed Pilate to say that for a bigger purpose. Pilate was trying to get his release. God didn't want that to happen. The Lord could have gotten released. He didn't want that to happen. But I want to say, as the subject of my message to you tonight, would you behold the man? I'm talking to you tonight now. I'm talking to believers. You believe that he wasn't just a pitiable figure, but you know who he was. You know what he was doing. Why don't you tonight take a moment and behold the man? Would you do that tonight? Would you remember tonight that this one that had the crown on his head and had the gorgeous robe on, that was trembling from the beating that he went through, and the blood is running down him, and he's there? He's there. He's there for you tonight. He's standing in for you. He's taking it for you and for me. And remember that you're looking tonight at a real man standing there, a human being. And he was born of his mother. His mother was suffering to see the son of her womb standing there and being beaten. And this is the little baby that she nursed at her own breast. This is the little baby that she held. And she delighted as he grew into a young boy, and how he was such a blessing in the family and such a wonderful son. And what a blessing. And think about his brothers that were those that they didn't really believe that he was the Messiah. They didn't really believe he was truly the King of the Jews, but he'd always been good to them. Now there he stands, trembling, looking pathetic in his robe and with the crown of thorns, and with a crowd of people standing around him that only want to kill him. The son, the brother. Behold the man. He called himself the Son of Man. He had human feelings. He was a man, just like any other man, except he was also God in the flesh and had no sin. Can you find a place in your heart to hurt for him tonight as the Son of Man suffering there? I find when I read this, my heart hurts. When I think that the only reason that he's in such a pitiable condition is that he loved us enough to stand there and take the pain and to take the ridicule and to take the hatred. Would you behold a man tonight and realize he was there for you, for your children, for your church family, for people all over that are going to benefit from the mockery, from the shameful way they treated him? And I'm saying to you tonight, would you behold this man tonight and let it hurt your heart for him, for what he's going through? Would to God that we could do that and feel some sympathy. Would to God that perhaps we could do that and even let tears come to our eyes because of what he went through and what he was going through. And would you behold the man? And would you behold the man tonight and meditate upon the love that he has shown to you? Would you feel it? Would you appreciate him and have some kind of sympathy for the love he showed in enduring that kind of suffering? You know, we talk about the finished work of Christ, and his work is finished. Thank God for that. But remember that he went through a process of great suffering so that you could go free. They arrested him. He spent a whole night, sleepless night, of going through the Jewish torture there. And then they turned him over to the Romans, and he was beaten by Pilate with the cat of nine tails. He was beaten, and he was mocked by Herod, and then he was sent back to Pilate. He had on that gorgeous robe, and they put the crown on his head, and they beat it into his head, and he was bleeding. Think about his love for your miserable life, that he went through that for you. We often think about ourselves and what we want and what we need and all of that, but he gave up all of that to suffer and to be mocked and to be ridiculed. And think about the love that he was showing when he went through that. You know, Peter, when he realized that he had denied him and failed him, and he looked at him in that pitiable condition as he was being ridiculed and mocked and beaten, and Peter realized there was nothing he could do and that he had failed him. And the Bible said Peter wept bitterly because of his failure. How many times have you failed the Lord? You know, when we sin, we don't sin so much against law, because there's now no condemnation, because he stood in there and took all the suffering for the sin. You're seeing him tonight beginning to do that. Can't you behold the man and appreciate the love that he shows to you, that you and I don't deserve, because we, like Peter, have failed him? Peter went out and cried when he thought about it, how it should affect our hearts. And would to God that our hearts would be softened tonight when we realize how much he loved us and that he loves you still. And he's hurt when we sin against him. His heart hurts. Would you behold the man tonight, trembling, bleeding, the robe hanging from him, being mocked, and realize he's the king of love. He's the king of sacrificial love. He did it for us. He knew Peter would fail him. He knew you would fail him. And yet he stood in there. They said, "Come down. You saved others, but you can't save yourself, you king of the Jews." And he wouldn't come down. And the Father wouldn't let him come away because of the great love of the Father for his Son, but his love for us. Would to God tonight my heart would be softened by that, huh? Would to God your heart would be softened by that. Would to God that we would love him more back in return because he first loved us so much tonight. And I thought it would be good tonight if you and I would just behold the man tonight, would you? Just behold him. He's not God that cannot be hurt. He is God, but he's more than God tonight. He is the Son of Man, born of a mother, having brothers, going through that terrible suffering, and think of the rejection he went through. You have a hard day sometime in serving him. Think of what he went through when all of his disciples forsook him, Peter and all the rest, and ran to save themselves. Think about it when people leave us and leave the church and all that, and we feel bad, but think of how they left him, and he knew it would happen, and yet he still died for Peter and all the rest. Behold the man. Behold his love tonight. You're saved because of his love. If you have anybody that's saved, it's because of his love. And it should soften our hearts as we behold the man. And it should let our hearts hurt for him who suffered for us. And verse 5, I'll read it again. It says this: Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Pilate even wanted them to have pity upon him. Pilate wanted them to let him go. But God didn't want that. Jesus didn't want that. He wanted to go through this because of his great love for us. Behold the man. I think of the song that I used to go with Denny Cartner down to the Brother Bruno's. Now it's the place, Colarusso's in Clark Summit. And he would play on the guitar. It was a 12-string guitar. And we were allowed to play in the restaurant and tell people about Jesus. And he would sing, I am not worthy, this dull tongue repeats it. I am not worthy, my heart gladly beats it. But Jesus left heaven to die in my place. What mercy, what love, and what grace. Behold the man tonight. The love of that man. The pain, the shame. And he endured it, despising it, for people like you and like me that we're just not worthy. I've been in the ministry for many years, and I've seen the best of them and the worst of them. I've seen myself. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy, not even a little bit. But the King of Glory left heaven to die in our place. What mercy, what love, and what grace. And make no mistake about it, he loves you. He loves you like nobody loves you, like nobody cares for you. And if you ever doubt it, if you ever doubt it, and you do, behold the man tonight. There with that gorgeous robe trembling, with the blood running down, almost in shock. There with the thorn of crowns and the blood running down. There with the blood coming out of his nose where they slapped him around. And the night before, the punching and the slapping, so his face is puffed out. And even Pilate saw it. He saw the suffering, and he looked so pitiable, and he thought, I'll invoke pity by saying, behold the man, and no pity there. Crucify him. Their hearts were hard. And we have people's hearts hard today. We go out to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, and they don't see it, do they? They don't see him. They don't see who he is. But you see it tonight. And so you can behold the man tonight. And I hope that you'll continue to behold the man in your mind's eye, in your heart, and that it will make your heart soft and hurt your heart for him and what he went through for you. It'll make your heart soft, because that's what we need, so that we will do like Peter did later when he repented and came back, and Peter gave his life for the Lord. You know why Peter gave his life? Because he beheld the man, and he saw the man, and that the man loved him and stood in there for him. And he said, I'm not worthy, but he's worthy of my life. He's worthy of my service. He's worthy of my sacrifice. And indeed tonight, behold the man, because he is worthy of it all. We're not worthy. None of us are. But behold the man. And then, you know, why did he do that? Why was he so mocked and humbled? He wanted to lift you up. He wanted to elevate you. He was humbled to the ground. He was humbled into the dust of death. He was humbled into a borrowed grave in the prime of life. 33 years old, his mother grieving for this son. Behold the man. He did it to elevate you, to lift you up. And the Bible says he makes you a king and a priest unto God. So you can be a blessing to others, and you can reign not in the kingdom of this world, but in the kingdom to come. Behold the man tonight, and let it hurt your heart, and let it make it soft. Let your beholding of the man, let it cause you to see his love, so that when you sin, you know you're hurting him. You're hurting his heart of love. You're not sinning against an austere judge that sends you to hell. No, he took your hell. He took it all. He carried the cross. He was nailed to the cross. He hung there and took it all. He went through hell itself as the Father forsook him and withdrew from him. Behold that man that took all of that. And then the love that he has. By the way, no matter what happens, how can you doubt the love of God when you behold the man and what he went through? And then behold the man tonight, and let it cause you to worship him. Verse 5 again says, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. When you behold the man, I hope it stirs up in you a sense of worship. You know what worship means? He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth your tithes and your offerings. He's worth whatever time you give to him. He's worth your prayers. He's worth the worship. Behold the man tonight, and let it cause you to worship him. I think of the shepherds when he was born in Bethlehem. They came and they worshiped him. I think of when he was a little baby, they did that, right? I think of when he was a toddler and the wise men came from Iran and the area of Iraq, and they came 500 to 600 miles to the west from the east, and they saw the toddler there in a rented home there in the little village of Bethlehem, and they worshiped him with gold and silver and precious stone. They counted him worth it. But if they did that to the baby, how much more the man? The 33-year-old man in the prime of his life, standing there beaten and trembling and ridiculed with a crown of thorns. not a golden crown like he deserved, with a gorgeous mock of a robe, with a reed that they used to beat him with, and all puffed up where they punched him and slapped him. Abused by the Roman soldiers, abused by the Jews. Oh, if the shepherds worshipped him and the wise men worshipped him, how much more should you and I worship the Lord and bow before him and say, Lord, I give you my pitiful little life. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're the King of love. You're the King of mercy, the King of grace. You know, we look up to sports heroes, and some people look up to political heroes, and wow, how much more should we look up to the man, Christ Jesus, our Savior tonight, who loves us, who wants us to know that he went through that, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Behold that tonight, and behold him tonight, and may you then serve him, not because somebody's pushing you, twisting your arm. May you serve him, because like Peter, he could never get it out of his mind's eye. For the rest of his life, he was beholding the image of the man. And he said it in 1 Peter 5. He said, I've seen the sufferings. I've seen the sufferings. And he never got it out of his mind. And all of those men, listen to me tonight, that saw the suffering, that witnessed the suffering, they suffered and they died for him. Because they beheld the man. But tonight, God says, you can behold the man. I believe there's a greater message in here than what Pilate meant to convey, amen? I believe there's a message that God means to convey. And by the way, if somebody wants to get saved, they need to behold the man. They need by faith to behold Jesus. And we need to hold up what Jesus did. And that people would trust not their baptism, as we heard tonight, or not some work that they've done. That will not do it. No, they've got to behold the man. They've got to see him in his suffering, in his death for us, in his love for us. It is work for us. Yes, it's finished now, but oh, it wasn't finished then, as he suffered and bled and died until it was done. He could not rest until he completed the work. Ah, may you be stirred up tonight to behold the man. I trust our hearts would be softened, and that he would take out of us a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, and perhaps take out of us our dry eyes and give us tears and give us a sense of that love. May that love motivate you. May that love move you. May you behold the man tonight and going forward from tonight. Let's bow for prayer, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder tonight, you say, preacher,